Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but we are taking our lessons and instructions from the Old King James Version of the Bible this evening. As I welcome you to all, you all to this episode tonight, I am still feeling my oats because tonight we will continue our study in the book of Matthew. Now we know this study will expound upon the teachings of Jesus Christ according to the gospel or good news of Matthew the apostle. It gives us a scenario of Jesus' life as prescribed by one of his 12 apostles. Many concepts are revealed in the 28 chapters of this manuscript, and theologians agree that Matthew's version of the events are written from a Jewish perspective, meaning from a viewpoint of Jewish learning traditions. Now, as I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Now, another reminder, about every 10 minutes or so, we will have what I consider and call a commercial break, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time, as I always do, to thank those of you out there that have taken the time to give me feedback on this show. The comments and the advice that you're giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using. Thank you so very much. Okay, as our theme song for the show suggests, the question for the hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus said through James, his half-brother, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth it not. But you have to ask correctly. That's taken from James chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Now, the promise is that God will give you wisdom, but you have to ask for it correctly, meaning that you have to obey his commandments. Jesus said, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. This is taken from Revelations chapter 22, verse 12 and 13. Now, the promise is that you are going to be rewarded if you work according to Jesus' principles. Jesus said, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall so find doing. That's taken from Luke chapter 12, verse 43. The blessing is that you're going to receive benefits if you are doing what Jesus instructs you to do when he returns for you. So the question for this hour is, again, my precious brothers and sisters out there, are you standing on God's promises? Now, before we get started, I want to remind you that the Bible is written in code, meaning written in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break the code, my precious brothers and sisters, is through study, which we're getting ready to embark upon, and learning, which I'm hoping the Lord God will encourage you and give you that understanding. Now, let's get to the study. We're in the book of Matthew. Now, again, Matthew has 28 chapters, and I have written 78 instructions for the series. Now, we're in chapter 19 of Matthew, Matthew chapter 19, and we're going to be looking at verse 3 through 12. Matthew chapter 19, verse 3 through 12. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text. The oneness of marriage. This is very important because of today's society handling marriage the way it's handling it and not according to the way Jesus prescribes it. The oneness of marriage. This is what Jesus told his disciples in Matthew chapter 19, verse 3 through 12. He says, the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered, Jesus said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be twined, be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twined, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Now, what Jesus is telling those disciples, that marriage is so sacred that you have to be careful when you plan to join one-on-one, because you're supposed to become one flesh. Verse 7 says, they said unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? And Jesus said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. Now, let me bring a point, my brothers and sisters. This is critical. That Moses is the one, even though he was under inspiration, Moses is the one that did this. God did not do this, and that's what Jesus is telling them. Now listen what verse 9 says. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth, which is put away, also doth commit adultery. Now, this is what it's saying. It doesn't say you can't be separated from your spouse, but that says you cannot remarry unless, of course, your spouse has committed the sin of fornication. Verse 10 says, his disciples said unto him, if that's the case, the man with a wife, it is not good to be married. But this is what Jesus said to them. Verse 11, all men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given. Now, this is what's critical again, my brothers and sisters. If you cannot receive what is said, then you should not be married. That is what Jesus is telling them. And he concludes with verse 12 saying, for there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men, and there be some eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of God's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. So this is what is being said. Everything, everyone's calling is different. Not all are meant to be married. That's what this is saying. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 21 through 24. We're going to see the connection of what God said in the Garden of Eden. Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 21 and 20 through 24. And this is what is said. And what I see is we have a commercial break coming up. So let's go through the commercial break, and then we'll return back to the study.
So a lot of times we get angry at our children for not being what we didn't model. Now, there were some things I couldn't model as a father. When Dexter got ready to go out for football, I never was into sports. So I remember calling Dion and saying, listen, he's going out for sports, football, and that's not my thing, so come down here and help me. I showed up at the games. I was there. I might have just got off a plane, but I was there at the games. But so far as helping him with his technique and how he needed to get down and how he needed, I wasn't the person to do that. What am I saying? You don't have to have everything to give what you've got. And if you didn't have a father, there are surrogate relationships that will supplement what you didn't get. But everybody in here needs a model. So stop using not having a father as an excuse for a lifetime of confusion, because over the course of your life, there ought to be a Dion or somebody that you can get on the phone and call and say, I'm not good at this, and then model that and get better. The point is, you can't be it by yourself. I got enough to fight when I go out.
Listen.
I don't want to fight when I'm home.
No.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's continue with this lesson. It is the oneness of marriage, and we know what Jesus told the disciples in Matthew chapter 19, verse 3 through 12, which we just read. Now we're comparing and agreeing what the Old Testament says, and this is what God put it in Genesis chapter 2, verse 21 through 24. Listen, my brothers and sisters, carefully. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, he made a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now, this is what Jesus was referring to. So God did this. So that's what it's so significant about being married. It's not called for everyone, but if you are going to be married, you should make sure that this one is unto death. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that marriage, for more especially for Christians, is a do or die or sin event. We must be sure before we marry that we are willing to endure unto or make the right connection unto the law of God. And that is what's so critical, that if God is going to bless this marriage, he's the one we should model ourselves on before we say I do. All right, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Matthew chapter 19. We're going to get another instruction out of Matthew chapter 19. Verse 16 through 24, Matthew 19, verse 16 through 24, and what we want to do is, this is the instruction I want you to keep in mind, my brothers and sisters, as I read the text. The good thing you should do to have eternal life. The good thing you should do to have eternal life. Listen, my brothers and sisters, this is something significant. This is what Jesus said. But if he will not hear thee, reading was from verse 19. I'm looking for verse 16, and it's on chapter 19. And this is what verse 16 says. And Simon Peter answered and said, Matthew chapter 19, I apologize, I was not in chapter 19. Now I am, and this is what verse 16 through 24 says. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Now remember, the good thing you should do to have eternal life, this is what Jesus said. And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandment. And the man said unto him, Which, Jesus? Which? And Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard these sayings, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. So what good thing must you do? You must deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Jesus. We're going to get to more of that in a future instruction, but that is the essence of what Jesus was saying. And now what we're going to do, we're going to go to Psalms 23. Go with me to Psalms 23, verse 1 through 6. This is what David said concerning that good thing that we should be about. This is what David told the Israelites. Psalms 23, verse 1 through 6. And I know you're familiar with it. And this is what it says. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want anything but the Lord. Remember what Jesus told the young man, that if he would give up all that he had and come and follow him. So David is telling the Israelites that the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want anything but the Lord. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. David is telling Israel what they're going to receive if that the many things that are within that good thing if they focus directly on God. Verse 4 says, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And that is telling us that the gifts and fruits of the Holy Ghost is going to get us through this experience we're having this side of eternity because of the sin of Adam and the knowledge of good and evil that we exercise. Verse 5 says, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. My brothers and sisters, if those of your enemies would eat from your table that the Lord God has prepared for you, they would no longer be your enemies. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? If your enemies would eat from the table that the Lord God has prepared for you, they would no longer be your enemies. And it concludes with verse 6, Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the good thing that is eternal life. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we should repent of our sins and be baptized for the remission of our sins and receive the Holy Ghost. That is the good thing. Remember, Jesus told his apostles to tarry in Jerusalem until they receive the promise of the Father, which was endued from on high, or the power that would be endued from on high. And that power is the Holy Ghost. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Matthew chapter 19. We're going to get another instruction out of chapter 19. Chapter 19, verse 25 through chapter 19, verse 25 through 30. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you, my precious brothers and sisters. Who can be saved? Okay? Who can be saved? This is what Jesus tells his apostles in chapter 19, verse 25 through 30. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, well, who can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Then Peter answered and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. That what shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now he's telling this specifically to those apostles. But my brothers and sisters, if you go to the book of Revelations in the third instruction of the Spirit to the church at Laodicea, it says, if you overcome, you will sit down with Jesus on his throne. Now, verse 29 says, and everyone that hath forsaken house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or land for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Now, Jesus has given us a caveat that don't worry about folks around you. The last, he is going to make sure that the latter rain is going to be saved also, meaning he's waiting for those who are going to come in the future and also be saved with you today. But we must follow Jesus today. And now before we go to the Old Testament compliment, let's take a break.
Have you ever run into an expert? My name's John. Welcome to Minute with Maxwell, and the word is expert. That's a person that's really good. In fact, that's a person that's better than you, probably so much better than you, that you pay them to help you. Now, I'm not anti-expert, but I'm a little suspicious of them. I'm not really sure that anybody is that good. Somebody said one time that an expert is just a spurt away from home. And what I believe is this. I think that we all can be good in what we're doing, but I don't think we ever arrive in what we've done. And so when somebody says they're an expert, I say, would you define what that means? Does that mean that you've arrived and you really have all the answers and basically you're going to help me and really make a difference in my life? Is that what that means? Or is it an expert mean that you're growing in your area, but you're getting better? I want to stay around growing people, not expert people. Expert people aren't learning. They're just talking. Growing people, they're listening. They're learning. They're collaborating. I think that's what I want to be. I don't want to be an expert. I just want to be a growing person that's getting better. Thanks for being with me today on Minute with Maxwell.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's continue with our lesson. This is the 51st instruction out of 78. Who can be saved? And we already know what Jesus said about it in Matthew chapter 19, verse 25 through 30. And now what we're going to do, we're going to go to our Old Testament complement, and we're going to see what God told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verse 5 through 9, which I'm going to share with you, my brothers and sisters, as the interpretation of who can be saved. If it is good enough for Joshua, It is good enough for us. And this is what Joshua chapter 1, verse 5 through 9 says. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. And I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. My brothers and sisters, if you have the indwelling, if you are a Christian that has been baptized and born again and have the indwelling of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, you have exactly what verse 5 says. He will be with you, and you will not be, you will not fail, and you will, he will not forsake you. And this is what he continued to tell Joshua, that we should also incorporate or rely on through faith. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore or swear unto thy fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand, or turn not from it from the left hand, that thou may prosper whithersoever thou goest. Jesus has given us our marching orders, my brothers and sisters. He is telling us what to do. He is our way, our truth, and our life, and our light. And we follow him, and this is the promise. As Moses was, as Joshua was told by God, and this is what we will receive if we follow Jesus in the same light. Verse 8 says, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You hear that, my brothers and sisters? Basic instructions before leaving earth. B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. That is our book of law. And if we meditate on it day and night, we will prosper. Verse 9 concludes the thought by saying, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. If you have the indwelling, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and if you are meditating on the Word of God, basic instructions before leaving earth, you will be saved, my brothers and sisters, guaranteed. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. Those that obey Jehovah God, especially through Jesus Christ, are the ones that are going to receive this salvation. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? Those that believe in Jehovah God through Jesus Christ, not just Jehovah God alone, as some of the Orthodox Jews do. They have still are lacking the salvation that is through Jesus Christ because they have not received the Messiah as yet. That is critical. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Matthew. This time we're going to go to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, we're going to look at verse 16, just one verse. In Matthew chapter 20, we're going to look at verse 16. And this is what I want you to keep in mind as I read the text. This is the instruction. The last shall be first, and the first shall be last. We already went momentarily in one of the past instructions. We reviewed that for a moment. But this is going to be more extensive. The last shall be first, and the first shall be last. For many are called, but few are chosen. And this is what Matthew chapter 16 tells, says about it, and it's literally saying the same thing. This is what Jesus said. So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. For many be called, but few are chosen. That is so significant. All of those who are called by God are not called by Jesus Christ. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? Even though Jesus Christ is God made flesh, the Christians are just like the Levitical priesthood was to Israel. They, the inheritance that we have is through Jesus Christ. Now, there are also Jews that call on Jehovah God that are children of God that are not going to be the, get the same inheritance that we're going to get with Jesus. Even though I should try and give you more details on that, I'm going to leave it as it is right now. And what we're going to do now is go to Exodus. We're going to go to our Old Testament complement in Exodus chapter 33 and see how this compares and agrees with what I just read, that the last shall be first and the first shall be last, but many are called, but few are chosen. This is what was told Israel in Exodus in the desert. Exodus chapter 33, verse 11 is where it starts, and this is what the text says. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Now, verse 17 through 19 is going to give more clarification on this. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Again, few are called, many are called, few are chosen. All of those who were in Israel in the desert did not receive what Moses received, okay? So this is the reason I'm connecting the dot with Exodus chapter 33. Verse 18 says, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And God said, I will make my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And listen, this is the connection, my brothers and sisters, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. That is that what God says will not come back void. So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. There are others that are coming that will go into the kingdom before us if we are steadfast in our walk with the Lord today. And many are called, but few are chosen. God is calling all, but he is calling all to be a part of the body, as Paul described it, as he sees fit. And so his word will not come back void. He will be gracious to whom he will be gracious. He will be merciful to whom he will be merciful. I hope you got that. This is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. God is the omnipotent, the almighty. He is the author and finisher. It will be done according to his word, and his word will not come back void. That's what I'm trying to share with you, that God will determine who I am to be in this world. God will determine who you will be in this world. And whether you like it or not, you have to respond to God's calling. And if you respond accordingly to his calling, you will be fruitful and prosper in this experience. Now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to Matthew chapter 20 this time. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 20, and we're going to look at verse 22 through 28. Matthew chapter 20, verse 22 through 28. And this is going to be the instruction that I want you to pay attention to as I read the text to you. You must be willing to drink the cup of Jesus Christ and be baptized with his baptism. My brothers and sisters, this is another area of specifics, and I should say critical, and it is something that we must respond to and understand. You must be willing to drink the cup of Jesus Christ and be baptized with his baptism. And what I'm going to do, since we're so close to the break, I'm going to give you the Old Testament complement reference. We're going to be going to Psalms 119, verse 66, 67, and 71 when we come back from the break.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, turn with me again to Matthew chapter 20. We're going to be reading verse 22 through 28. And keep in mind, this is the instruction. You must be willing to drink the cup of Jesus Christ and be baptized with his baptism. Now, this is what Jesus said. But Jesus answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, we are able. Now, to give you a little background, this is when the sons of Zebedee, James and John, asked Jesus to be on his right hand when they enter into the kingdom of God. And this is what Jesus is explaining to them about they have to do exactly. Are they willing to be baptized with his baptism? Are they willing to drink the cup that he's drinking? And this is what he says in verse 23. And he says unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. So God is going to determine what we're going to receive when we are in heaven with Jesus. If we, and we will, if we follow Jesus, we're going to be baptized with the baptism that he is being baptized with, meaning through his death, we will have the salvation for our souls and we will drink the cup. And it was the crucifixion that he underwent, meaning our trials and tribulations in this side of eternity. And this is what verse 24 says. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and that they are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And Jesus is telling us, or telling them specifically, but it relates to us, that we are to be meek and humble and lowly of spirit. We are to share the word of God with as many as we meet and greet. We are to labor with love in his vineyard. And that is what we are to do. And so now we're going to go to Psalms 119, as I gave you before the break. This is the Old Testament compliment, and this is what David, king of Israel, said to the Israelites in Psalms 119, verse 66, that gives credence to what Jesus told his apostles about drinking the cup and being baptized with his baptism. This is what David says. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. So David is telling Israel that the affliction, the tribulations, is necessary. That's part of the experience we have because of the knowledge of good and evil, because of the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden. This is what we must respond to. And verse 71 says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. And again, because of our affliction, we have responded affirmatively to God. And this is what Jesus was telling his apostles, that you're going to surely drink the cup that he's drinking. You're going to be baptized with the baptism that he's being baptized with. But in the long run, by following Jesus and overcoming, then we shall be successful in getting into heaven. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, my precious brothers and sisters, that we must deny ourselves, pick up our own crosses, and follow Jesus. That is the only way to become his disciple. And that is what Jesus said further on in another gospel, that he got specific with his instruction to his disciples. We, his disciples, we must deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and then follow him. Now let's go to the next instruction. Instruction number 54. We're going to go back to Matthew chapter 21. We're going to go to verse 13. We're just going to look at one verse this time, Matthew chapter 21, verse 13. And this is what I want you to pay attention to, the instruction, as I read the verse. My house shall be called a house of prayer. Ye have made it a den of thieves. This is something that we should be more aware of because of the house of God being not a building made with hands, but spiritual. And this is what he told his disciples in Matthew chapter 21, verse 13. And Jesus said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. So that is what was in that day, because they had the temple of God where God resides. Today, God resides within us. So this is the temple that we're supposed to make sure is not desecrated, and that is our bodies and our souls. Now we're going to go to the Old Testament complement. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 56, verse 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter 56, verse 6 and verse 7 is what Isaiah says about it, and it connects the dot. Isaiah chapter 56, verse 6 and 7. Also the son of the stranger that joined themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant. Now here is the connection. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burning offerings and their sacrifices shall be acceptable unto me, unto my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. That's the connection telling us that when Jesus told them that you have made my house, you know, a den of thieves, it was because of desecrating the temple of God. Today, it looks at us, if we are desecrating our bodies, we got to be careful that we are desecrating that temple. This is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that the house of prayer today is within our bodies. That is where the indwelling resides, inside of us, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. God says in the book of Revelation that his tabernacle of men, that his tabernacle is with men. And that's where we find it, my brothers and sisters. Now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Matthew chapter 21. Another instruction out of Matthew chapter 21. We're going to look at verse 19 through 22. Verse 19 through 22. And this is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to as I read the text. Let no fruit grow on thee thence for forward forever. Let no fruit grow on thee hence forever. And that is what I want you to pay attention to as I read the text. And this is the parable that Jesus gave. It is Matthew chapter 21, verse 19 through 22. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered up. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have the faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this, which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. So Jesus is giving a parable telling us if we have the faith, we can cause things to happen. But of course, we have to have the faith in order to make that happen. Now let's go to our Old Testament complement. We're going to go to Genesis 6, And we're going to look at verse 5 and through 8, Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 through 8. And we're going to see what God said about this in the Old Testament. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 through 8. And this is what it says. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and in every imagination of his thoughts, his heart was only evil continually. Now, since we are into the break, I'm going to stop here and come back to the lesson after we have a break.
When you are tired, you must be very careful that you do not become dehydrated. You have got to drink this water. You have got to drink this word. You have got to drink this worship. You have got to move away from wells that will never quench your thirst. And you have got to receive the water that flows from within. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the reason that you came to church today is God wanted to give you water. He knows you're tired. He knows you're thirsty. He hung on a cross and said, I thirst too. He stretched his arms this wide because he was tired of it too. And the man who was God became man, and he who knew no sin became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. And he said to the woman, and he said to me, and he said to you, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am the shepherd. I am the gate. I am the way. I am the vine. I am the seventh man. I am the seventh man. I am the well. I am within you. You will never get what you need from out there. It's in here. It's in here. It's in here. It's in here. I know you're not in a church building. There's no worship leader to tell you lift your hands. Will you do it anyway? I know there's not a feeling telling you right now to have hope. Can you hope anyway? It is a well that springs up from within. It is a well that men did not dig. It is a well that does not consult external situations. It is the well of the Holy Spirit. And God said, I came all this way to sit with you, to be with you. The proof of his power was not just when he walked on water. The proof of his power was when he sat on a well. Did you hear me better online than they heard me in this room? Because if you got that, you got the whole message. He didn't just prove it by walking on water, which he did. He proved it by sitting on a well. Sometimes he walks on water. Sometimes he is water. But I declare.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, let's continue with this instruction number 55. It is, let no fruit grow on thee hence forward forever. And we know what Jesus said about this in Matthew chapter 21, verse 19 through 22. And now we're looking at our Old Testament compliment to see how it compares and agrees with what Jesus told his disciples. And this is what God said in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 through 8 concerning the same. This is what God said. And God saw, or this is what the Bible says about God. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And this is what it should mean, my brothers and sisters. This is the connection, meaning let no fruit grow on thee hence forward forever, that God repented that he had made man, because he had come to the tree, to the fig, or as Jesus came to the fig tree, it was not ready when he was ready to receive it. So he destroyed it. But he found favor because of faith and because of his promise. He found favor with Noah and proceeded to allow life to continue with his remnant. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that when Jesus comes to you, if you don't receive him, your chances of developing or working out your soul salvation is weakened. You must be ready to receive Jesus when he comes to you, my brothers and sisters, and he comes to us at different times in our lives. But we must be prepared. We must have the faith that when he does come, that we will be ready to receive him and we will not be destroyed. That's the instruction I'm trying to share with you from this lesson. Now let's go back to the next instruction. We're going back, to Matthew chapter 21. We're going to look at verse 28 through 32. Matthew chapter 21. And we're going to look at verse 28 through 32. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. Keep in mind this instruction, the story of the two sons. Now, Jesus gives a parable, and I want you to pay attention to this, and then we're going to analyze it. The story of the two sons, Matthew chapter 21, verse 28 through 32. This is what Jesus says. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. And the son answered and said, I will not. But afterwards he repented and went. And he came to the second son and said, likewise. And the second son answered him, I go, sir, and went not. Whither of the twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterwards, that ye might believe him. Hear another parable. Now, that is telling us that when we are not doing God's will, but we are saying that we will do God's will, that we are denying God, and we're going to reap not the benefits from that, but we are going to be held accountable for it. And then now we're going to go to our Old Testament complement, Genesis chapter 4, and see how this compares and agrees with what we just read. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. And this is what the text says in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have begotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain a tiller of the ground. Now what I'm doing, my brother and sisters, is giving you another story of two sons. Verse 3 says, in the process of times, it came to pass that Cain brought forth the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. Now again, doing and saying, okay, this in this instance, Abel and Cain both brought offerings to God. But one was more genuine, you might say, than the other. And that's the reason for verse 5 and 6, which we're going to read now. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou do well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doesn't do well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall his desire be, and thou shall, and he shall rule over thee. Now, that's telling us that the story of the two sons is like what Jesus said about the first and second boy. You're going to be held accountable for your works. If your works are correct, then you're going to be successful. If your works are not correct, then you're going to be declined. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that you cannot fool God. When he calls you to make sure you answer correctly and do his will. Repentance, repent if you have to. That is what we have because of Jesus Christ. We have repentance, and that is so much more than what they had in the Old Testament. But that is what I'm trying to share with you, that when God calls you to do, then you do what he calls you to do. That is the instruction that I want you to follow or get from this lesson. Okay, we are now in, I'm going to, as that was the last lesson for this evening, I'm going to make a quick review of what we went through tonight. And the reason I'm going to do that is because of the significance of this lesson itself, the explosive teachings from Jesus Christ. We went through some critical of what Jesus taught. The first was the oneness of marriage. My brothers and sisters, you got to be careful about marriage. If you are not sure that you cannot live with this individual for the rest of your life, then you should not marry that individual. The second instruction was the good thing you should do to have eternal life. We know that the good thing that we must do is be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit, be born again of the flesh and the spirit, and have the indwelling. The third instruction, who can be saved? And we know that those who obey the will of God are the ones that will be saved. The fourth instruction, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. For many are called, but few are chosen. We must be very careful on how we respond to others around us, my brothers and sisters, because we may be first, and someone comes later, and that's okay, because God has chosen those to be as he wills. Remember, we read that God will be gracious to whom he will be gracious, and God will have mercy upon whom he will have mercy. The fifth instruction, you must be willing to drink the cup of Jesus Christ and be baptized with his baptism. Another critical element in our lives, we must deny ourselves and pick up our cross. But this, my brothers and sisters, is in our favor. In Psalms 55, verse 22, it tells us to cast our burdens upon the Lord. He will not forsake the righteous, and he will make sure that they are saved. Now, we know that if we deny ourselves and pick up our cross, we put that on Jesus Christ, and that will be our salvation. We went to the next instruction, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And we know that within our bodies, that's what we should make sure that we keep it holy. Now we're going to conclude this evening's lesson as we break out.
Getting hard to believe that you can hear me, then you give me.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, Blog Talk Radio Talk Show Program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE. Thank you.